Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Matteo Messina Denaro, a brutal Sicilian mafia boss who was on the run for 3 decades, was captured last week in Palermo after leaving a hospital where he was getting treatment for cancer. Now, his detainment caused widespread relief in Italy, but has prompted the question of what becomes of the mafia now. I'm joined on the line by Professor Anna Sergi, who's criminology and organised crime professor at the University of Essex. Anna, it's good to talk to you again. We spoke briefly last week when this arrest happened, but I was really interested to talk to you again because your links with this story are very deep, in that your father worked as a journalist where the Sicilian mafia were very much active, and you grew up there.
Yeah, I grew up near there. Obviously, Sicily is a massive region, and I grew up in Calabria, which is next to it. But obviously, the echo of the story are quite deep, yes, as you mentioned.
So can you give us a sense of what it was like growing up when the mafia was very active in Sicily?
So mafia wars in Sicily have started before I was born, which essentially means that when I was born and grew up, this was already normality in a way. So you grow up thinking that the normality of mafia violence is somewhat inescapable, is something that is always going to be there because it obviously has been there since you were born. So we were fighting different fights in a way. We had two regions of the south, Sicily and Calabria, which is right on the peninsula opposite to Sicily, that were both experiencing heavy level of mafia violence. And actually, Cosa Nostra was very active in linking with the Calabrian mafia, the 'Ndrangheta, which eventually became my main research interest, in various ways. So there were killings on both sides of the strait that separates Sicily from the mainland, and the bombings in Palermo resonated everywhere in a way. So when Giovanni Falcone was killed in 1992, was the prime, you know, the main symbol of the anti-mafia fight, it seemed like a point of no return. So it felt like, okay, this is it. They are winning. they are killing, they are blowing up a motorway to kill someone who they deem, dangerous for them. So it felt like really this is getting too much. Mm-hmm. But then obviously, you know, history unfortunately tells us this wasn't the case, and the state reacted, and eventually, you know, everything felt went back to some sort of normality where violence is not that widespread anymore.
So this arrest then, and we spoke about it, as I said, last week, but as the dust has settled, Anna, on the arrest of Denaro, what do you think it means for Cosa Nostra, for the future of the organisation, for the future of the mafia?
So the future of the organization is very much in shambles right now, in the sense that obviously without Messina Denaro is the last boss remaining and the last symbol of Cosa Nostra that used to win. The organization is clearly severely maimed. Matteo Messina Denaro is going to the hard regime, the hard prison regime. It's very unlikely he's going to talk. But essentially, if he's talking, what's coming is essentially his relationship with politicians and entrepreneurs and other professionals who have supported his period as a fugitive. So it's not going to have an impact on the daily life of the organization, if not for a renewed interest into it. Since we spoke last week, the police has found 3 hideouts of Matteo Messina Denaro. In these hideouts, basically, there were his things, his life. We uncovered how he used to live in the past few years. And it's very clear that he was a very self-absorbed man. So he doesn't seem to be that interested in Cosa Nostra as much as he's interested in keeping his role as a leader in Cosa Nostra, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So he's not having an executive function. So I think that goes to say that Cosa Nostra really is a bit on a moment, everyone on its own, everyone for himself kind of thing. And probably that's what we're going to see.
He's not an old man. He's in his 60s, isn't he? But he's very unwell.
Yes. So we heard yesterday from some medical doctors who had his documents that he has no more than 3 years left. Obviously, this is not necessarily true, but it gives us an idea of how advanced his illness is. He has cancer and is clearly very sick. So this is going to change his prison sentence as well.
I mentioned at the beginning that there was widespread relief at his arrest. There'll be also some people who are very nervous and others who will have lost their income because of this arrest.
Yes, that's another issue that obviously many people were saying, are you sure this is a good idea to arrest him? Because obviously many people are probably going down for it. And obviously many people have been involved into it. And now this is scary. One thing that happened at the same time when he was arrested is the state, the Minister of Justice, actually announced some new regulations to make the anti-mafia fight less invasive in a way. So it's kind of like a short circuit of Italians this way, when you have a major win on the one end and then on the other end the politics says, you know what, now that we arrested the last big one, it's time to rethink our strategy and put less effort in the anti-mafia fight because now we have arrested him. So it's kind of, you know, things are moving around this in Italy quite quickly after this arrest. So it's not just about what happened to Cosa Nostra now, but what happens to the anti-mafia fight, because arresting Matteo Messina Denaro was extremely, extremely expensive. It's 30 years of a non-stop investigation. You can imagine how expensive this is in terms of human resources, but, you know, good old money. So many people are actually questioning, can we afford this? Can we afford to put all these resources into one man, essentially?
So is that why the government then, Anna, has decided to sit back a little bit when it comes to the mafia, because of the expense, or is it to just settle the nerves of other people here?
It's probably both. I think with this government, we are used to see a bit of denial when it comes to crimes of the powerful, which intertwine with the mafia crime in Italy. That's the normality, unfortunately.
And the Italian mafia has long benefited, people will know, from support at the very highest levels of the state, complicity amongst the police, the judiciary, business, Catholic Church even. Is that still the case? Is that still happening?
It is still the case, but I think it's more contextualized now. So it is the case in certain areas, definitely, still between Sicily, Calabria, or even in the north of Italy, in certain smaller realities, probably, where it's easier to, not necessarily to approve of mafia behavior, but to know each other more and to essentially be, you know, in touch with each other more. So the level of meeting is higher. There is still an element that is ingrained in mafia culture, which is that power is needed to preserve consensus. So this is what differentiates mafia from organized crime. Or normal organized crime only cares about money. Mafias care about power, so there wouldn't be any mafia if it wasn't for this will, in a way, to get to the power chambers. And that's what Italian mafias do best. So it is still happening.
Anna, it's great to talk to you again, and thank you for speaking to us today. Professor Anna Sergi there. Just some news from Bank of Ireland today, which is saying that it's going to increase interest rates for a number of mortgage and deposit products. 0.75% increase for fixed rates on new mortgages effective from today. A 0.5% increase for the fixed rates available to existing mortgage customers. So it is quite substantial, but they say it's in the context of the European Central Bank rates going up by 2.5% since July of last year. Now, customers who already have credit approval and who draw down their mortgage by the 21st of February can still avail of the previous fixed rates. So that's news from Bank of Ireland. Coming up, Pat Doyle, the outgoing Peter McVerry CEO, joins us to look back at his almost two decades at the head of the organisation. That's next.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.